Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thought that was a great homestand. Looking forward to getting back on the road tomorrow.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow us on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. That was Stan Van Gundy celebrating the Pistons' win over the Thunder last night. Detroit came back from a four-game road trip, one they went 1-3 on, and just really dominated the Thunder. The Pistons moved to 5-0 at home, but as Stan Van Gundy said, it's right back on the road at the Knicks on Wednesday and at the Cavs on Friday. The Pistons got an impressive win playing without Andre Drummond. He was hurt. Hopefully we'll be back for the Knicks game. I'd be pretty surprised if he's not back by that Cavs game. But plenty of Pistons stepped up without him. Tobias Harris had another good game. He's been playing very well this season so far. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had a solid game. Put in a lot of work guarding Russell Westbrook. Westbrook still had 33, 15, and 8. But he is a one-man wrecking crew. You're not going to stop him. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope did enough to slow Westbrook. And then Westbrook took himself out of the game late. Once the Pistons got up, once it appeared the game was decided, he was a few assists away from a triple-double, and he really just went into full assist-hunting mode. And it took away something from the Thunder's offense when he was so focused on that. It made it easier for the Pistons to prevent what would have been an unlikely comeback anyway. Beno Udrih was solid off the bench. Maybe his best game with Detroit. He's been up and down a little bit. He's had other fine games where you'd be happy with what he provides as a third-string point guard filling in as the backup with Reggie Jackson injured. But this was one of the best, very efficient, getting to his spots to get his shots and passes off. But the real player who stepped up the most was Aaron Baines. 20 points, 8 rebounds while starting in place of Andre Drummond. The Thunder have a big front line, and Baines was just working. Playing hard and unafraid to bang down low, and it made a difference. The Thunder had to try some different things in their front court to counteract him. After the game, Stan Van Gundy had a lot of praise for Baines.
Look, I mean, Aaron's just, he's a great worker, and, you know, as the president, I'm not supposed to say this, you know, because, you know, this guy can be a free agent, you're not supposed to promote him, but he's a starting center in the NBA, so, you know, he's just playing behind an all-star. But you look around at all the starting centers, and Aaron's a starting center in this league, a starting caliber center in the league. So it's not surprising that he played as well as he did. I mean, that's who he is. He's a really good player, and when he gets an opportunity like tonight, you know, he steps up and takes advantage of it.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. It was a real nice game from Baines. But to me, and I guess people can have their own definitions that twist this a little bit, but if you're a top 30 center in the league, you're a starting caliber center. And no, I don't think Aaron Baines is a top 30 center. I think some of his real big detractors, maybe they're overly harsh. He's a solid backup. He's helpful to have on the team. But even then, you know, for a solid backup, he still has games where it's a little rough to have him out there where you're not thrilled he's your backup, which will happen. I mean, even solid backups have bad games. But it happens too often for somebody who's supposedly a starting caliber center. If you're a starting caliber center and you're playing backup minutes, if you're playing against other backups, it should be pretty rare that it's not working for you. And that just happens a little too often with Baines. And his highs aren't high enough. His lows are a little too often to be a starting caliber center. He's just too limited. But he does provide nice energy. And I think mostly Stan Van Gundy just wanted to say something nice about a player who had a nice game. But I also wonder about the bigger picture, because Stan Van Gundy has been real effusive in his praise for Aaron Baines for a little while now, really since the Pistons signed Boban Marjanovic, and Van Gundy was open about the Boban signing. That signing Boban was because he thought Aaron Baines would opt out next summer, and that the Pistons wouldn't be able to afford to keep Baines. So now that they had this cap flexibility this summer, the summer of 2016, they were going to use it to get their backup center now. So Boban's going to basically spend a year as the third string center behind Drummond, behind Baines, and then when Baines leaves next summer, then Boban can step up. So let's look at the numbers behind this. Baines has a $6.5 million player option for next season. The most the Pistons can pay him through his early bird rights is $11,375,000 in his starting salary for next season. They could add raises on top of that, and we'll see exactly what the new CBA says about those raises and if it tweaks any of this. But that is the picture we're looking at. He can opt out of $6.5 million. The Pistons, for his salary next season, can start at up to $11,375,000. Anything more would require cap space. Doesn't look like the Pistons are going to have cap space. I sort of expect Aaron Baines to opt out of that $6.5 million. I think he can get more. He signed in a different environment. The new national TV contracts have kicked in, pushed the salary cap way up. Revenues overall, even beyond the national TV contracts, are way up. So there's just a lot more money to go around. I think he's worth more than $6.5 million in this environment. Is he worth more than $11.4 million? That's where I'm not so sure. Stan Van Gundy seems to like be hinting at this, like, yeah, he's going to get more than that. That's like the message I get from Stan Van Gundy, is that he's saying Aaron Baines is going to get more than that $11.4 million cap the Pistons can use through early bird rights. And so there's really no way he should come back. And now you add in, you know, maybe he even gets a starting opportunity somewhere else. And part of me wonders whether Van Gundy is just like ready to move on from Baines, wants to go to Boban, thinks that's going to be an upgrade in a year. He obviously doesn't think it's an upgrade right now, or Boban would be playing ahead of Baines. Like, Stan Van's not going to mess around with that. It's whichever of those two, now that they're both on the team, is more capable of helping right now. That's who's going to play. And so it's clearly in Stan Van's mind, that's Baines. So Baines is getting those minutes. But I wonder if Stan Van, on some level, is trying to push Baines to opt out. To say to Aaron Baines, to send the message that you can get more, you can have a bigger role, please go do that somewhere else. Whether it's because he's ready, he thinks Boban will be ready, that Boban needs a year of polish and understanding the system and maybe some athleticism development. And, you know, because of Boban's limitations, I mean, he's very big, he's very skilled, but he's slow. Because of his limitations, he really needs to understand where to be. There's not a lot of room for him to use his athleticism to make up. He can use his height sometimes, but in the NBA, that's not always enough. If you're not quick enough, that can be a major deficiency. So I wonder that about that sometimes, and I do think it's also possible that, look at Van Gundy, it's a case of the winner's curse. Just a couple years ago, we know no team valued Aaron Baines more than the Pistons. The Pistons gave him the biggest contract. It was criticized at the time, but that's sort of beside the point for a second. They gave him the biggest contract. They valued him more than anybody. Maybe Stan Van Gundy is just way higher on Aaron Baines than anybody else. If that's the case, we'll see how that plays out in free agency next summer. And the other thing looming over this is the luxury tax. Even if the Pistons don't think Baines is quite worth that amount they keep saying like he's going to get, they might just want him to opt out and feel like he's worth it so they can have a little bit more room under the luxury tax. They've got to re-sign Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or figure something else out at shooting guard. Resigning KCP is probably the number one option, the easiest way to go about it. And so they could just do that, and it becomes a lot easier if Aaron Baines is not on the roster. And like I said, now they have a replacement for him already in tow in Boban Marjanovic. Either way, no matter what's going on, Aaron Baines had a nice game against the Thunder. It's nice praise for him. Maybe it's a little over the top. Maybe there's a motive for it. Maybe there's not. But this was if Sam Van Gundy is just trying to say how he feels or trying to get at something bigger, this was a nice time to do it. Stan Van Gundy, as we know also, though, is not really afraid to speak his mind on anything. And the latest example of that was his comments about Donald Trump winning the presidency. The Pistons were in Phoenix to play the Suns, and Van Gundy talked about how he was sick to find out that Trump won, and that he knew going to the arena that night he'd be surrounded by Trump voters. Trump won Arizona. I was expected to win Arizona. And so I understood where Stan Van Gundy was coming from. I disagreed with his approach, with his way of handling it. But I know a lot of people who had similar feelings. I understand where he was coming from. If you want to hear more about why I disagreed with what I thought would be a more productive way of handling his frustration, of where some of his frustration should have been directed, I had a podcast about that when the election happened. You can jump back and check that one out. But the next thing, what happened last night, Brian Chapman from 97.1 asked Van Gundy about, well, what about all these Pistons fans who voted for Trump, a lot of whom are angry at you? Because there definitely are some Pistons fans who voted for Trump and are angry with Van Gundy. When Van Gundy said that, he didn't know that Trump was going to win Michigan. I don't think a lot of us expected it at the time. We definitely should have more. It's, in hindsight, makes more sense than it appeared to going into Election Day, and it happened. Trump won Michigan. Van Gundy works now in a state that went to Trump, like it or not. So this is how he addressed those Pistons fans who are concerned.
Well, I would say a couple of things. Number one, that obviously we want them here, and we appreciate them. Number two, they were my views, not the views of the organization. And number three, that, we'll just move on and see what happens going forward.
All right, let's start with this. Stan Van Gundy has this platform because he is a basketball coach. He is very good at his job. He is elite. He's so good at his job, they gave him a second job that only somewhat related to his first job because they just wanted to get him for his first job. They're like, all right, we know you're a great coach. Yeah, we need somebody to run the front office. If that'll get you here to coach, we'll do that too. That's how good he is at his job. And his job offers a huge platform. People are interested in what NBA coaches have to say. It's often about the NBA, but because they have this platform, because they have this media in front of them almost daily to do interviews, and because those interviews get published and what he says is passed along, he has this huge platform. And he said some things that insulted some people. Whether you agree with him or not, people were insulted. Potential customers were insulted. And that's the tricky thing about this. He's using his job to express his views that are really not related to his job. I mean, these are important things. We're all Americans here, and I'm not saying he shouldn't say what he believes, but what he believes is amplified because of his job. And so he's saying some things that are bothering potential customers. It's a real fine line to walk. This is where a lot of people can get into trouble with it. This is where a lot of justifiable criticisms are silenced because people are afraid of a little controversy. I don't think the Pistons and Tom Gores want to stand behind Van Gundy and say, yeah, go ahead, insult any potential customers you want. That's no problem to us. That's not how it works. Some people have longer leashes than others. Van Gundy clearly has a lot of leeway to say how he feels because he continues to mostly do so. But this was him trying to walk it back a little bit and, not say he was wrong. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he cares about this too much to say he's wrong. But to downplay it, to say, well, yes, I did not want to exclude these Trump-voting Pistons fans from coming to games. I didn't want them to feel unwelcome. He wants them to feel welcome because that's what helps put money in his pocket. And that's the system. It's a flawed system. There are problems with it. It makes it harder for people to speak out against injustices. But that's how it's always been. That's how it's going to be. Van Gundy recognizes that. And so he's trying to toe this middle line now. It's not easy for him, but that is his situation. That's what he got himself into by being outspoken on it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does it again. It's a line that might be worth towing. Van Gundy feels strongly about this. I agree with some of the things he said. I disagree with others. Like I said, you can look back at the last episode for more depth on the specific comments he made in Arizona. But that's what I think about what he said last night. And if he brings this up again, we'll talk about it again. We'll keep talking about what's going on the court too. And everything else in between. You can follow Locked On Pistons and Audio Boom, or you can subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.